Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. I'm actually trying to do a quicker show today. I have been super busy. I just keep getting fights after fights after fights. First of all, I want to thank everybody for the kind words of, you know, support and congratulations for my fighters, Jared Rochalt and Johnny Hendricks, for their wins at UFC 185. I appreciate all the kind words. I appreciate everybody, you know, sending messages saying that they support my guys. But in lieu of, you know, the busy days and the weight cutting, because we always cut, I always cut weight with Johnny, and I make sure that, you know, we game plan and we come in, we've got to make sure we've got time for both guys throughout the week for holding pads and so on. It drained me and I got a little bit of a cold. So as you kind of hear to my voice, my throat is a little bit sore and I still have got a fight that I'm going to in a few hours right now because of my female fighters fighting in a card today. So thank you for all your support. Thank you for the constant, you know, messages that you've been sending in and the Twitter your responses. And I really appreciate it all. But let's go ahead and get back to kickboxing. That's what I do. First of all, you're listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at the direct blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are in the most efficient way. You're getting this kickboxing podcast on iTunes. All you have to do is enter Warman Kickfighting Show, or enter Lord Gaul, which was my screen name back when I was a, you know, my username, I should say, back when I was on the kickboxing forums, Kakatugi, K1 Fans, K1 USA, and so on. So that's how you get a hold of the show. And of course, if you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, I am Stephen the Warman, one word on Twitter. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into the biggest news. Clearly, the biggest card for the weekend is the Yukao card, which is Yukao 12 and 13. It's a one-day show that's got two events and two main events on the show. I'll go ahead and start with at the top with 13 show. Bacorn, PK Senchai Gym, as he PK Senchai Muay Thai Gym, are just your Bacorn, the regular visitor to the high-level stadiums. You're going to see Bacorn fighting high-level guys. He's been fighting international. He had a couple KOs last year when he had his first introduction to the international scene on the what is it? There was a card in Europe where I think that was the first one. I want to say he was in the Ukraine was his first international opportunity. I can't remember it specifically off the top of my head. But Bacorn has been getting that call up. And this is a guy who we're not talking about a bigger stadium guy, a guy who's, you know, weighs over 141 pounds, because usually after 141 pounds, you're talking about a different type of athlete as far as the ties that they produce in the international scene. The best guys, the best weight classes, because the ties are generally smaller people, are between 141 and 118. Like, you'll see the best fighters in the world from their country, the most elite level Muay Thai in those weight classes. Not saying that there isn't good Muay Thai above and below those weight classes. I'm just saying that those are where the legit athletes, those are where their best representation of stadium Muay Thai, of Thailand Muay Thai, is going to be seen. And at 134 pounds, 133 pounds, Bacorn has fought them all. You know, we're talking about a guy who's fought Sanchai, a guy who's fought Pech Bunchu, everybody that there is to fight, Bacorn's fought him. And now he's getting opportunities to fight at the international stage. This is his fourth or fifth time doing it. In fact, he fought in for Yukao last year and against Greg Wooten. So he's no stranger to giving this international opportunity. And he's going against Liam Harrison now, which will be, the weight will be bigger than Bacorn's used to, which is something that we've seen a lot. The stadium fighters usually fight and then fight up. But Liam Harrison, this is the most elite Thai that he's fought probably, I'd say, since Senchai. You know, he's got wins over a lot of elite level Thais because of his time in Thailand. And of course, his most notable one is Anuwat. But Anuwat fought in a style that made it possible for him to have success, because Anuwat fights very much like the Westerners. Combination of low kicks, but the biggest thing is he sits in the pocket and he looks for KOs. That's how Anuwat became a legend. That's how he won the two-time Writers Fighter of the Year back in the early 2000s. That's what made Anuwat special. And Bacorn is a guy who's got that mean left hook. He stopped some guys with a left hook. That's what he did on the Top King promotion. They were the ones that gave him one of those international Muay Thai opportunities, and he stopped a guy with a left hook. Liam Harrison is a guy who's fought good competition, elite level competition, both in kickboxing and in full rules Muay Thai. This win would probably be the biggest win of his career if he were to get it. I'm just looking at the guys who he's fought. Clearly, he could have ran through the Glory Tournament. That would have been big. He did. He was up on the cards before he lost to Masaki Nori. No shame there. But Liam Harrison has got all the skill to come out and put on a exceptional performance. He's got all the skill to win this fight. I'm going to go ahead and just dare to say Liam Harrison's going to get a victory at Yokohama tomorrow. He's definitely skilled enough to do it. His combinations and low kick styles will be difficult to get off against Bacorn, who can just, you know, sit southpaw, or he'll disarm it in a certain way. Plus, Bacorn's got the clinch game. It's not a Patch Boomchu lock on, control in the clinch. You know, definitely play top position, score knees, dominate the action, keep you from getting off your offense. Bacorn doesn't have that type of a clinch game, but he is crafty. He's got like slick, you know, trips and sweeps. And Liam will be able to score solid in the boxing. And even as I say this, I'm trying to lean Liam Harrison in this one. And I'm slowly going back towards Bacorn, but I'm going to go ahead and say with my original pick, I think Liam's going to score enough in the boxing. I think he's going to be strong enough. That's going to be the biggest difference, because he's cutting down to 65 kgs. Whereas Bacorn, who's, you know, 134, he's just going to come in at his, you know, walk-around weight and probably still weigh 5-6 pounds, you know, less than Liam on fight night, you know, probably even more. But I am going to go ahead and go with the bigger, stronger Harrison in the upset of Bacorn. I could be totally wrong. Bacorn definitely, you know, did well against Greg Wooten in his fight last year on Yokohama, but I'm going to lean towards Harrison to get the biggest win of his career. And the co-main event on this, you know, Yokohama 13 is the return of Bernice Eldes as she goes against Tanya Merritt. And for those who, you know, I usually talk about female Muay Thai when I have Rosie Hayward on, because that she runs the female Muay Thai kickboxing Facebook page, which, you know, produces fights all the time, and it shows girls who go there and they put the ranks up and they find opportunities to fight, and then she lets you know what's happening on the schedule. The reason why this fight is exceptional for Bernice, because once upon a time Bernice was a 16-year-old who's looking for a gym, and she went to an all-boxing gym and they didn't accept girls. So then she went online and she found Kieran Kettle and found out that he was a world champion and he had a gym, so she went to that gym. She is what you would call a prodigy. At 16 years old, she was beating, you know, Alana Halla, the girl who I put in my kickboxing Muay Thai, the European documentary, and I put her in there as kind of like one of the names to know, because she's such a show woman on her way to the audience, and she throws with big power, and she stays in the pocket. And Bernice Eldes fought her early in her career. Bernice Eldes didn't just beat her, but she schooled her. Really good with the step of knees and the body kicks. She probably scored 2 or 3 downs in there, but the ref didn't count them. The ref didn't call it until the fight was over with. So Bernice Eldes, at a very young age, 16 years old, fighting with her hands down, step up knees, you know, her clinch game was really strong, but her body kicks and her movement made her special. She then went on to beat Julie Kitchen early in her career. She had a good run. Bernice Eldes had a great run. She left the game to have a son. She's got her son's 2 now, I want to say, and she decided to return. If you look at the Yokohama video that shows her preparing for the fight, she is as technical as can be. Like, everything she throws, her kicks, it all comes so smooth and technical. So I'm very excited to see her back in there. Tanya Merritt, this is a girl who came up short, though very competitive, when she went against Julie Payne for the Awakening title. In the fight with Payne, I thought that she had some moments scoring in the kickboxing portion of it. Just Payne would always close the distance and get the full clinch, was able to score. Bernice Eldes will be able to do that more so if she can at least be somewhat of her old self. I think that Merritt will put up a good challenge, and I think this will be an entertaining fight, so definitely a fight to see if you guys are out there. But I got Bernice Eldes returning and then returning with a W. And shout out to Vinny Shorman, who had said that Vinny Shorman was the one who made this happen to get Bernice Eldes this opportunity. So there's a lot of other fights on this undercard. You know, Steve Long and John Kaufman, Keith McCollum and Paul Karpowicz. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm sick, so it's not coming out as smooth. There are other high-level competition and up-and-coming guys who are getting the opportunities in the Yokohama fight. I just wanted to focus on those main two fights at the top there. And then I'm going to go to Yokohama 12, which gives me a main event of the first fight card of that day, is Jordan Watson versus Sonny Dalbec, which is the elite of the elite going at it. Jordan Watson, who's of course been making waves, and Sonny Dalbec have been doing their thing in glory. They've had a couple opportunities to compete. They've got a couple wins. Sonny Dalbec a few years ago had really kind of set the world on fire, being the new young up-and-comer, as he got a series of wins that, you know, Yoshiro Sato was one of those wins, Warren Stevenson was one of those wins, and he was very game in his loss to Robin Van Roosmalen, who's going to fight in a few weeks for the glory, or as to defend his glory championship at 154 pounds. So definitely you got good stuff coming from Dalbec. You got good stuff coming from Jordan Watson. Jordan Watson is tailor-built to be a full-rules Muay Thai fighter. He's got a real snappy kick to the body, His switch kick is strong. He plays the game. He knows how to get really tricky sweeps, and he knows how to get knees in the clinch. He knows how to keep his head high, and more importantly, he knows the craftiness of the movement so that he can take advantage of rounds and opportunity to score his body kick without you returning. Sonny Dalback comes from kickboxing predominantly. Like, that's where he comes from, and he has been in Thailand for the last 2 years, and he's been putting on a show. He's been working the body kick game more. He fought in the K1 undercard in a rematch with Yoshihiro Sato. He stopped Yoshihiro Sato in the fourth round of that fight, but his style is definitely converting more towards fighting full rules Thai. I really love his body kick. I really love his movement in there. I think he still has the hands, and he can let him go if he's down, but I really like his skill set, and I think it'll be a lot of fun watching this fight go down. I'm going to go Watson just because I think he's more comfortable in the rules, despite the fact that Sonny Dalback has been campaigning out of Thailand for 2 years. I think Jordan Watson just better in closing the distance, better in negating offense returning, and just really, really crafty. But I'm telling you, this could be the fight of the year. They have that kind of potential. They have that type of skill set. I'm really excited about this one. UK versus France, Darren O'Connell as he takes on Kareem Benoui. Benoui, of course, and Nasser Kassim, not unfamiliar with taking some of his fighters up to the Jacquel card, fighting full rules Muay Thai in England. This happens quite a bit. He's brought, you know, fighters in the past. He's fought Kareem Benoui in the past, if I'm remembering correctly. And now we are going to see him versus Darren O'Connor. Darren O'Connor, the southpaw, he fights at the Thai rhythm, but even slower than that. He has a really mean kick to the body. He's crafty movements. I think he could do a better job of getting spacing on his elbows. Sometimes he rushes them. He doesn't get them as clean. Guys usually have their guard up, and he'll just keep throwing it with kind of anger as opposed to kind of picking clean shots and finding his moments or whatever. I think Kareem Benoui is more of a natural full rules Muay Thai fighter who can definitely bring a kickboxing element to it. I'm going to lean towards Kareem Benoui to get this victory, even though O'Connor, really hometown base, he could have quite the crowd, quite the backing, could put on quite the show. But I like Kareem Benoui's consistency against high-level Thais. I like his ability to get their rhythm down, and I think that he's fought better competition than Darren O'Connor is. So I'm excited about this one. Last fight on this card I'm going to talk about is Stefan Melidi as he takes on Chris Shaw. Chris Shaw is a person I've mentioned before. He's also in my kickboxing documentary. I talked about one of the young up-and-comer fighters to watch. I believe he's 22 years old, if that. Stefan Melidi, also very, very young. He's gone over to Thailand, and he's kind of starting to do big things in the international scene and big things in the stadiums. He's got more of a natural Thai style. Chris Shaw has more of a combination style, more of a kickboxing-based style. I really like to see Chris Shaw and the kickboxing moving forward. I think this is going to be an entertaining fight, but I've got to back Chris Shaw just because this is a guy who once upon a time, I said, is a guy to watch. Whereas Stefan Melidi, I think that he is a good fighter, but sometimes I question his athleticism, not his skill set. His ability to score, his ability to score the body kick, his ability to find his range. I think Stefan Melidi does a good job there. I just like Chris Shaw. He can get angry if he has to, and by that I mean he could just power through some things, let some big shots go, score big there. The guys that he struggled with are usually guys a little bit bigger than him, but I think that Chris Shaw and Stefan Melidi are going to put in a great show, and I'm leaning Chris Shaw to get the victory there. There are other fights on this card. As I mentioned, Danny Harrison Little as he takes on Kyle Huler. Mick Eslick as he takes on Jack McGuire. There's other fights on the card. I won't be able to get to them all, but I wanted to really highlight those main two as the ones to look forward and to focus on the UCOW. Definitely good stuff there. I'm going to go ahead and mention a couple other fight results that happened. You know, as I said before, I can't do the longest show. Zevit Podorok gets a unanimous decision victory over Frank Munoz. And I have to bring this fight up because, you know, it took place in, the fight took place in Sarajevo, in Bosnia, I want to say. Just trying to remember off the top of my head if I've got the right location for that card. But Zevit Podorok got a victory over Frank Munoz. And it is a setback because Frank Munoz had turned things around. And this is the type of guy that he's got to beat if he's going to move into the elite. Because he's put together a good couple of years. He's had some good victories here and there. He's had he won the Super Combat Tournament for the year not too long ago. Everything is coming together except for he's got to win this type of fight. He's got to beat this type of guy for him to get into glory and compete on a regular basis. In the beginning, I thought that it wasn't going to happen for him at all. I was like, man, Frank Munoz, he's got the length, he's got the hype, but he doesn't seem to have the kickboxing flow. He doesn't seem to have the defense. I just don't think that he can hang with the elite on a consistent level. If you look at fights with Nathan Corbett, for example, he just looked like he was out of his element. And then all of a sudden, he started to string the right victories together, started to score a little bit more. His tricky style with where he throws his kicks, and you know, there's no kind of like rhythm to how he fights. He just finds openings and scores, And I thought that he would struggle with that style against elite guys. And then he put together a good year and a half where he was beating some good guys. Zevin Potorok's the type of guy that you got to beat. Now, again, I need to see the fight. For all I know, it was a bogus call. You know, it was not the decision that should have happened. But from what I'm reading, it sounds like he just was outpointed by a savvy veteran, Zevin Potorok. Not the end of the world for you to lose in kickboxing, but this is the level of guy that you've got to beat. So hopefully they can get a rematch and do it all again one more time. Infusion had a kickboxing card. Again, I was busy the day that this was streamed, so I'm just going to go ahead and run off the result and just say what they mean on a international kickboxing level. Hakeem Olgoy gets a victory over Karapet Karapetyan. Karapet Karapetyan, of course, he's fought in glory, fought for the glory title, and you know, he had some really good moments. He's got a weird style, but he's brought in more times than not to face elite guys, and he hasn't been able to get the victories, with the exception of the win that he had over Artur Kashenko. He had the opportunity to fight, and it was short notice, but he had the opportunity to fight Joe Schilling, and he wasn't successful there. He had the opportunity to fight for the glory title last year, wasn't successful there. He's getting the big opportunities. He's just not getting the big wins. And that, of course, is always going to go against you in the long run. Got to see more from him there. But Hakeem Olgoy, who had that great run in Tatneft, you know, the Russian kickboxing organization, I think that between the opportunities that he's had on Infusion, this is the kind of win that he needs to have. And it was at 80 kgs. I'd like to see him drop to 77 kgs and get his opportunity to fight the best in the world, to fight the Nicky Holtzkins. You know, I want him in that conversation. So good win for Hakeem Olgoy as he moves forward. Karapet Karapetyan still having a solid kickboxing career, but there's a level of guy that he's struggled with his whole career, and I'd like to see him get a few more wins there. Nordin Ben-Ma gets a first-round hook to the liver KO over William Deender. William Deender is towards the end of it. He had a great run in his early days. He got the opportunity to fight K1. I remember he dropped Dwayne Ludwig early in a fight. Dwayne Ludwig stormed back and got that win. I remember the KOs that he's had over Drago Gago. He just always had Drago's number. He's threw a lot of power punches. He stayed in the pocket. William Deender had a good kickboxing career, and he's going to make a solid coach when he's done with this. But he has consistently kind of had this performances where he's going against a guy who's not as good and hasn't stepped up to the occasion. And then when he's had those elite level opportunities like Yoshihiro Sato in K1 about 7 years ago, Yoshihiro Sato just low kicked him out of there. And I really believe that William Deender still had a good, solid career, international opportunities, but he's just a guy who's going to go in and get a paycheck. I don't really see him, you know, fighting in glory someday. But I do think he had a solid career. Whereas Nordin Ben-Ma, he's had some of those international opportunities. I want to see him fight more consistently, and he's got to get some bigger names on there. You know, they brought in Andy Sauer before. Maybe him and Andy Sauer do it. Him and Hirat Gagorian, another guy fought in this card, maybe does that one on Infusion. I just want to see him get some more names under his docket. But Nordin Ben-Ma, good win. Hirat Gagorian gets a victory over Marco Piquet at 70 kgs. Marco Piquet is just, you know, he surprised me with the win on the Liver Kick kickboxing promotion. I thought that there was a really good chance that, you know, because he was older and because he had fought in Lion Fight before and he didn't look good in Lion Fight at all, I'd wondered if he just had a good run, international opportunities. I watched him get the big KO win over Sean Wright in Jamaica, and that was like 6 years ago. You know, that's what it feels like. And he had that good run, but then he'll just disappear. He'll lose to guys that I don't think he should be losing to. Doesn't mean that he's not talented. Doesn't mean that he's not skilled. It just means that his body, after all the wins, and we're talking about a guy who was up on point and definitely winning in both of the fights with Nicky Holtzkin, and then Nicky Holtzkin landed something big to turn the fight around for both. One, he gets the knockdown to get the judge's decision. The other time, he gets a KO late. Marco Piquet has always showed good skill. He just has struggled to get that significant win consistently. And Hirat Gagorian, him and his pressure style, throwing punches all the time, walking people down. His coach Sommers, one of the great female kickboxing coaches in the world, one of the few that anybody knows out of Belgium. She's done a good job of keeping him on that combination style, walking people down. I mentioned their relationship in the kickboxing documentary, Shin on Chin, if you guys want to check that out. But Hirat Gagorian, this is a big win from him, and I definitely want to see more from him moving forward. Rogge Hegeman, the 70kg title holder, gets a first-round KO victory over Engin Katuk. The thing with Hegeman is simple. He's got to fight elite names, elite guys that we know. That's the big step for him now. I think he's doing a good job being consistent. I do think he's doing a good job of getting wins. But now it's time for him to segue into maybe fights a Drago Gago, maybe fights a Harakagorian. We need to fight. He's got to fight K1 guys. He's got to fight Glory guys. He's got to fight old Showtime guys, guys who've got names so we can see how good he is. Because he is skilled. He just doesn't have the international wins and he doesn't have that platform win. That's the kind of thing that we need for him. The win that we go, okay, this is going to be the next guy. Anissa Mexen, best fighter in the world at 54 kgs, gets a victory over Isis Verbeek. And Anissa Mexen, you know, again, she's got the KO pop. She's got the style. There's rumors that she wants to do both MMA and kickboxing. And then if the opportunity for UFC opens up, she'll go to that full time. She shows all the skill. The only thing that I need from Anissa Mexen, of course, is just keep fighting. Keep fighting. Keep getting your brand out there. You're very skilled. She's got KO pop. She's got the style. She's a very entertaining fighter. I love that she got a win in this card. And also, Yusuf Choloke gets a victory over City Berry. Not as familiar with Yusuf. I got to see more of his fights before I can give a consistent rundown of what to see from him in the future. Last card I'm going to break down in this shorter episode. I know you guys are used to me going for an hour, but I got to go ahead and spit this one out and get to the fight here. The Super Combat had a card that did a good job of getting, you know, they do a good job of keeping their guys busy. Guys from the area that are good draws, who fight for Glory, who fight for K1, fight in international opportunities. And they need to stay busy until those opportunities come back. And one of those cards took place in, I want to believe it's pronounced Plesti, Romania. And in that card, I'm going to just mention some of the bigger names, guys that we've heard before. D'Angelo Marshall gets a KO victory over McCall Waslow. And in that fight, Marshall, just too much. He did this thing where he kind of threw a knee to the overhand, the same thing that Errol Zimmerman's famous for, the same side knee to right hand, and he was able to score that big against Michael Waslow, and then it just never recovered. He continued to score right hands, and they didn't even seem like they were the most powerful shots, but after the first one landed, his jaw was susceptible to whatever was thrown. So D'Angelo Marshall, 23 years old, he just needs more kickboxing consistency. He needs to have an identity in there. He can hurt some guys, but man, it's going to be so tough for him to be a Badr Hari or a Gokhan Saki, guys who can score consistently and get KOs. So D'Angelo Marshall's got to improve in that area, but still, big-time win for him. Bogdan Stoica, who I've been very critical of throughout the years, probably put on his best performance as a pro, I would say, in the last 3 years. He only did one jumping knee, that's why I say it, but he started off right away. Zinedine threw a switch kick to the body, I'm going to say maybe 4 seconds into the fight, and Bogdan countered with a right hand that scored right behind the ear, and Zinedine was in trouble from that moment on. He continued to look for kickboxing, but Bogdan was poised. He threw strong combinations. He threw solid kicks after his hand flow. He moved so well, and he didn't rush anything. That's the most important. He didn't rush anything. Normally, he's doing jumping knees and Supermans and all this kind of stuff where I'm like, dude, just work your offense, and the KO is going to come. This time, he worked his offense. He only did the one jumping knee, and he was able to. When Sedin, later in the round, did a switch kick, he scored perfect behind the ear, and that was the KO later in that first round. Overhand right after blocking that kick on that side. Bogdan Stoica, that was the best fight of your career in the last 3 years, I'd say. You've got to put that performance against elite-level guys. If you fight that way, where you let your hand flow go, and you look for your kicks, your single kicks, you get a consistent offense to win rounds in kickboxing, you're going to be an elite fighter. You're going to be able to beat elite guys. It's just when you start trying to KO everybody on flash shots that keeps you from being elite. So good stuff from Bogdan Stoica. I'm excited to see him more down the future, hopefully fighting the way he fought in this one. Andre Stoica, complete opposite. Very polished, very, very skilled. I think that this fight was just an example of him staying busy. He stayed poised. He looked for his opportunities. He did this move, I want to say, in the first knockdown or second knockdown. I can't remember where it was, where his low kick was checked. But as soon as his foot hit the ground, he fired off the right hand right away, got into a combo flurry, and he scored a down against Marcelo Andrins. I believe I'm pronouncing it right. Andre, it looks like Adrian with SZ on the end. Adrian's. But like Marcelo was game and he tried and he moved. But Andre Stoica, another level of skill. Too good. Too much hands. Scored two downs in the fight. He wins and moves on to fight bigger and better guys. And then the last fight I'm going to mention is Benjamin Adebuyi, who He's not a young up-and-coming prospect. A lot of people keep saying that. He's 30 years old. The time is now. So if they do a K-1 heavyweight or Glory heavyweight championship, he's got to be in one of those tournaments. He's got to get his name out there. So I'm hoping that it's announced that he's going to be on that card in San Diego. That'll be huge for him as far as Glory goes. And I want to see him compete down the road. Very, very skilled. He put together just a solid kickboxing performance where he walked this guy down, scored in flurries. Daniel Linty was just kind of more game. You know, he would like throw wide and so on, but Benjamin scored a lot of step-up knees, a lot of low kicks towards the last round. I just think that he just fought a safe, get busy, get rounds, get work and fight. Good stuff there. So thank you for all the people who are listening. I promise I'll have a longer show next time. I just wanted to make sure I got this one up. Thanks for all the people who are supporting kickboxing. And again, catch me on Twitter, twitter.com/StephenTheWarMan, and I'll make sure that I keep getting your kickboxing fix to you. Peace.